Tom's Official Podcast. I'm Dan, Managing Editor for the site, and I'm here with David, Staff Writer for the site, Matt, Staff Writer for the site, and Ian, who's a lowly contributor for the site. We are going to talk today about Transformers, The Revenge of the Fallen, and then we'll also talk about some other things going on, including the recent celebrity deaths and maybe some viral news. So first, we've got to get to the big thing, the Transformers movie. Made $200 million this weekend. The question is, does that mean it's a good film? Let's start with David and see what you thought of the film.
It was enjoyable. I mean, I thought expecting from a Michael Bay film is, you know, Transformers. And, I mean, the first time I saw it, you know, I didn't really enjoy it. But the second time, I really enjoyed it, so.
You saw it twice?
Yeah, I saw it twice.
And you saw
it on IMAX. I saw it the first time, and the second time I saw it on normal.
Right. So how did that compare to you? Like the difference between the IMAX.
Well, because I had to sit in the front. Remember, I had to sit in the front, and it wasn't really, you know, nice. It wasn't really enjoyable. I had a headache, but I mean, the second time when I saw it, really in a good seat, you know, I really enjoyed it. You know, explosions, you know, good action scenes, and you know, there's plot holes, of course, but it was an enjoyable film. You know? I gave it like a 7 out of 10.
Right. Matt, what'd you think?
I loved it.
You would. So tell me some of the things that you loved most about it.
I liked Optimus. I could have done without John Turturro's ass. I mean, did they have to do that shot in the IMAX camera, you know?
No, well, they did Megan Fox's ass in the IMAX
camera. Payback for Megan Fox.
It's not fair.
They did it?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I saw in IMAX as well, and so I thought
I mean, I have a couple of criticisms with the film, like how the robots were underused and...
Yes, they were. Well, they blended.
What about the Fallen?
Well, Fallen was, he was alright as a villain, but...
He was anti-climactic.
He was a wimp.
He was in, like,
2 minutes.
I thought he was going to be a stronger villain. But no,
yeah, he was pretty bad. I mean, you had to... I mean, I didn't like the whole idea that Megatron was, you know, a servant to him, sort of like Darth Vader to Emperor, like, Star Wars.
I know, but he did that to Unicron in the original movie.
Who cares?
I like Starscream.
Yeah,
Starscream's cool.
I enjoy Starscream.
I just get confused by who all the robots are. That's one of my biggest criticisms, is that they all blend together.
You're a noob.
You know,
I didn't.
Except for the racist twins and the...
They're not racist.
They're not racist.
They are, too. And
anyway,
between them two and Bumblebee and Optimus Prime, those are pretty much the only ones I could, like, easily distinguish.
How about Ratchet, Ironhide?
No, none of those. I don't... Like, I would,
Sideswipe?
Okay, that's obvious.
Blackout.
I mean,
Devastator.
No, none of these. Like, the names mean nothing to me. Like, I just you get confused by who and what all these things are.
How about the little robot?
Yeah, obviously, unless you're an extremely different robot, I have no idea the difference between them. So that was my criticism, and also you see a lot of machinery at once. So like, even if you know who the robots are, sometimes you can't tell what's really going on.
Well, especially you get a headache when you see them.
At the end fight, most of them weren't like actual robots. They were just protoforms sent down from that Soundwave sent down.
Soundwave was a useless character. I mean, he was on that satellite.
They're saving him for part 3, you know, like
yeah,
the first one, and he got expanded. I think that's what they're gonna do here.
There's a lot of plot holes in this film. I mean,
Ian,
she is Hand. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. His bandage, you know, like what the hell.
Wait, he could have used a shirt.
Wait, what'd you say?
I mean, she is arm. It came out of nowhere in the film. I mean,
bandage. Like, how he got the bandage on his hand?
Yeah, I mean, nothing. It just came out of nowhere. Like, so.
Well, everyone carries bandages with them, right?
Well, I mean,
gets you space bridge to Egypt.
Yeah.
They explain that in the game.
Well, that's important.
Well, they had to write it in because of his car accident last year.
But still, I mean, the point is though that, you know, if you're gonna do that, then you have to make sense of how does he get a freaking bandage on his
car. Yeah, I understand that.
And then, I know, but a lot of the plot holes that people are complaining about, they can be explained easily from the prequel comics.
Well, that's the problem. You shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to have prequel comics. To
I mean, Star it. Trek had that, remember?
But you understood it without it.
Yeah, exactly. But Transformers didn't do that.
Yeah, and it was. I think it was too complicated, and it was too much. It was like, oh no, we've been here before. Like, it's like you just threw that in there.
I think Michael Bay said, you know what? I don't need to do it. I need to put explosions. I need to do whatever I have to do. You know, with all my movies.
Yeah, someone was saying, like in reference to those robots, which we can talk about in just a second, about, you know, the ones that a lot of people are saying are racist or very stereotypical.
I thought they were racist, but thinking about it, they're typical.
Yeah, but my point is that, you know, someone was asking, because they had an interview with the writers about that, and they said, well, Michael Bay had done some things, and I was like, well, I wonder, and I was wondering on Twitter, actually, I said, oh, I wonder what Michael Bay has to say about this, and then,
the same writers for Star Trek, right?
Right, and the Crave Online guys came on, replied to me and said, well, Michael Bay's too busy counting his money to care. And I'm like, that's pretty much true. I mean, yeah, he does whatever he wants to do.
I mean, he's a blockbuster, you know, he does his films and gets money for it. I mean,
my whole thing on the twins being racist is they say it was Michael Bay's doing, but I highly doubt that Michael Bay is back there in the editing room hating on black people and throwing that into his movie like that.
I'm sure it wasn't meant to be racist. Like, for him, he was just trying to make some fun. I mean, the entire movie, first movie and second movie, have a lot of dumb jokes, a lot of dumb gags.
Bright humor.
Yeah, and it's...
I know, but it's for the kids, you know?
I mean, when they came out, everyone was cheering and laughing for, what's his name?
Forgot their name.
The two race. You're supposedly racist.
Mudflap and whatever the guy's name was.
Kid, right?
Skids and Mudflap.
Yeah, Skids and Mudflap. So they were laughing throughout the film.
No, right, and I get that. I mean, they're obviously supposed to be stereotypical characters, and they were. I found them funny at many points.
The disturbing part was when this character Sam was saying, "Can you read this?" And they're like, "Oh, we can't read." Like,
right.
It's a dead language.
No, right. That's what I thought too.
It came out wrong. I don't
know. You're right, and I had heard about this before. You know, some of the criticisms people had of the robot. And I was like, oh man, they made him illiterate. But then when you watch the film, you're like, you know, like, just like Matt said, it's a dead language. No one can read it, except for the old guys.
Jetfire, the Seekers, and
they didn't say that they couldn't read it. They just said they don't do much reading.
That's what they said exactly.
Yeah, but it was implied that they couldn't read it, obviously. It made sense in the story.
How many people do you know that can read Latin?
But Billy also said that that's the language of the Primes. So you would assume from that. No one could read it except, you know, Optimus and all that.
Right. So, I mean, it makes sense. But I can see how, if you really want to, you can construe it in that way. But, I mean, given that compiled with the other aspects of the robots, I think is why people are having an issue. I think they're very stereotypical. I think to call them racist may be a little extreme.
They're funny. I mean, there's some funny parts of them.
I found them amusing, too. But they're obviously very stereotypical. That was obviously his point. But I think it was done more in a humorous way, which, as we all know, Transformers tries to do a lot of humor, and half the time it fails, I find.
Actually, if you think about it, people calling the twins racist are kind of racist in themselves, because the urban culture does not just belong to black people. It belongs to everyone, you know?
Well, it's not the point. Obviously, they're making stereotypical caricatures of the black ghetto community. That doesn't really... People don't really talk like that that often.
People do.
You're
in the wrong area of town, man.
Of characters.
He is.
It's a compilation of stuff. So that's the problem. I think that's the issue people have with it.
Who's your favorite character, Dan?
Personally, I mean, Optimus and Bumblebee, but I mean, I'd probably say Bumblebee because I love his loyalty.
Well, there's not a lot of John Turturro, which you hated in the first one, right?
Right. He's in it a lot, but he's not annoying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't want to drive an ice pick through the side of his head in this one, you know?
Nice. No, his roommate.
Annoying.
I reserve for his roommate. his roommate.
Oh, yeah, his roommate. What's his name?
Leo.
Yeah, he was freaking annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice way to tie in the viral, but...
He's like, I don't want to go to prison, but...
They're saying now that he's going to have a much bigger role in Transformers 3, and they want to tone down Megan Fox.
It's not good.
Wow. Ian, we haven't really heard... What did you think of the film overall, Ian?
I think if you're going into a Michael Bay film expecting Oscar-worthy performances and a good script and good writing and all that, you're obviously in the wrong movie here.
Right.
It's supposed to be an entertaining and fun movie.
Yeah. Well, the first one's better,
in those respects, it delivers.
True.
I think with the first one... It was all these Transformers fans and fanboys that have been waiting for so long to see it. Kind of like a dream come true type of thing. And with this one, it just kind of ramps it up 10 times more with everything good and bad of the first
one. What do you think was better, the second one or the first one?
You know, I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
I enjoyed the second one better.
I don't know. I find, there's for me, it's hard to kind of judge it as an overall concept. I mean, I found some of the stuff. I think, I found things made less sense in this film. But, yeah. But I found the action to be better.
Yeah, the action was better.
And I wanted more Megan Fox.
And in the first one, like, you didn't get the robots till like, what, an hour in?
But,
you know?
And it made something more special. I mean, here you had, like, a 40-minute, like, barrage of robots at the end. So.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The first one was more recognizable in the robot department.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that are underused or unnamed.
But I don't get why the humans are shooting bullets at the robots. I don't really...
Yeah, I don't know. But what I don't like is that there's too many things that are Transformers. That has always been my thing I didn't like about with the first and the second one, is there's a lot of every machinery could theoretically be a Transformer, and that pisses me off because I've always thought of Transformers as being vehicles of some sort, or, you know, like, and it makes it so you're doing too much. Like, at what point do you stop? And we think we proved that in this film with the whole Terminator robot, the robot that's
That's from the original lore.
Yeah, it was,
from the 80s comics.
What's your name?
I still don't like
it. They came out.
Alice,
no, but those were around before the Terminators.
What amuses me most about these movies is how no matter how bad you get beat up in battle, they still transform into a perfectly shiny car.
Yeah, no, really.
Exactly.
Well, you even look at Bumblebee. If you look at Bumblebee when he comes out of the garage and they're talking to him and stuff, like his body armor is all scratched up. But then when he changes into the car, you're right, he's all shiny.
That was also a bad scene in Dynamite.
Well, again, it's just a lot of really dumb humor and like, you look at the whole marijuana scene with his mom, which is
that was actually funny.
It was kind of funny, but it had nothing to do with anything.
You guys remember the part where Sam's mom said Sam just popped his first cherry?
Oh yeah.
There was a little girl behind me, and she was all like, "Daddy, what's a cherry?" It was so wrong yet hilarious at the same time.
I mean, they had it appeal to the main audience. The
PG-13
I mean,
thing a little bit.
Well, yeah, of course they push it. But for me, it's the issue that they keep trying to push these really dumb jokes and dumb dialogue. Like, I found that Shia LaBeouf, whatever his last name is, Buff, but his role in the first film was a lot better. Like, he had more witty lines. He was more interesting of a character. I found in this one, I mean, his arc is really dumb. Like, between I love you and I don't love you. Like, what a dumb arc. Especially when you have Megan Fox. But I found that he didn't, you know, he had that one little witty line about the guy's shirt being too tight. And then, but other than that, like, he really wasn't, he was there just for the plot. You really get to the point where you really care about the robots a hell of a lot more than you care about any of the people.
I don't think it was even Shia LaBeouf that said the tank top thing. Or I think it was Leo.
No, Sam. It was him who said it.
Okay.
And then they drop the parents in at the end there too. Like, they just try to force a lot of stuff.
And it was annoying too. Was kind of an asshole. Was the advisor, national security advisor, who played him.
Uh huh.
That reminds me. The two most interesting human characters in the movie were totally underused. Linux and Ed.
And I like Linux. I think he's one of my favorite characters in the movie.
Who?
Lennox, with Tyrese, you know, Tyrese Gibson.
Oh yeah, those two guys. Partner. I heard a lot of people saying that they felt they were underused, but you have so many characters, it's kind of hard to do a lot. Yeah, but his lines were all dumb, and he didn't really say much.
Wasn't Tyrese Gibson Ebso? I think Josh Duhamel was Lennox.
Yeah.
No, but Tyrese Gibson, that's his partner. You know, that's his.
Right, yeah. But either way, they're both underused. But I really found that Tyrese Gibson's like, what's his point in being the?
I wish they would have developed Lennox and Ironhide's relationship a little more.
Yeah, I like that whole. You're right. The dynamic between like relationships when it comes to the robots and the humans. I really like that idea, and they don't really. Of course, it's Michael Bay.
It felt like that they were actually friends. You know, some actually pretty good acting. You know, the interaction they had with the robots.
It would have been. I really would have liked that. That was really something I really liked about the film, was the idea that, you know, the humans and the alien and the Transformers are working together, and you get these really great partnerships, and they really didn't. You know, go there too much, but you're right. I really, really like to see their interactions a lot more. I mean, Josh Hamilton's a pretty decent actor, so.
Emotions were conveyed a lot better in this film. Like when Optimus Prime died, you kind of felt sympathy for him.
No, you're right.
That Forge fight was awesome, too.
In the scene where Sam is talking to Bumblebee, and they're both kind of breaking down.
Yeah.
That was actually kind of a well done scene.
No, you're right.
Bumblebee was kind of getting.
I actually felt emotion when when Skids was like banging his head when he thought Mudflap died.
Yeah.
And then his gold tooth popped out.
that's exactly what it is.
Well, one of the things that's the thing I didn't like is that this film had really a wide range of emotions, but they didn't really do them well. I found that like the transition, like you'd be doing some really dumb, stupid jokes, and all of a sudden you're trying to do this emotional scene. And while yeah. the emotional scene is done well, you know, the fact that it's the juxtaposition is just I found weird.
Well, it's exactly like the first film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but the first one I felt had less emotion, so it wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah. But
when the first one, when Jazz got ripped in half, I was actually cheering, you know.
Wow.
Because I thought Jazz was an annoying bastard, but. And this one, when Prime, like, fake died, I was about to cry, you know, bro.
But you kind of expected he's going to be.
Coming back, yeah. I mean, you figure you can't just kill Optimus Prime.
I'm talking about that. Did you guys like the ending of the movie? Like, about the whole Sun thing?
For me, Optimus Prime was by far the best part of the movie.
Well, I didn't like
In
the
response to what you said just a little bit ago, you can't kill Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
You should watch the original 80s movie.
Who cares? Like
they kill him in the first 10
well,
minutes.
Well, for Transformers fans, that's kind of, you know, important.
No, because I've seen the 80s
It's like
film.
Star Trek.
These two films, like, you subtract the two from each other, and they're better than that 80s film. That 80s film was horrible.
Dude, the 80s film was awesome.
It was sucked. It didn't make any sense. I didn't
like
it.
Orson Welles, it was his last role.
That makes it good?
Well, it means cartoon.
Anyway. And it had Galvatron in it, so.
Oh, it must be okay.
Well, Galvatron should have been in this one, though. Guess me.
Yeah, but they set it up for Galvatron, you know? I'm glad they didn't use Nimoy for The Fallen, so they can have him reprise his role as Galvatron.
What did you guys think of that kind of, like, Transformer Heaven they had with the...
That wasn't Transformer Heaven.
The Primes?
I know, yeah, when he's beating, like, the
Primes, right?
Yeah.
It was inside the Matrix, I think.
Yeah.
It was Autobot. Because
if it was Transformer Heaven, then where was Jazz?
That's not the issue, no. Yeah. No.
No, because, like, if it was Transformer Heaven, they would have had, like, Jazz.
No, but it's like, well, because it's Sam's
unless he went to Transformer Hell. No, I use the term facetiously. I'm just saying, like, there's this kind of, like, supernatural Transformer thing. Like, what do you think about the idea that there's this kind of, like, supernatural nature to the Transformers? Like, some kind of...
They're just inside the Matrix, because, like, they trap themselves inside there or whatever, you know? And when Sam died...
How's that
like,
not supernatural?
It was to defend the Matrix. They didn't actually hide themselves within the Matrix. They hid the Matrix with their bodies.
Yeah.
I know, but they were inside the Matrix, like their souls and shit were.
Well, again, well, that brings up the whole idea of souls and everything. Like, this idea where they start going into the religious aspect of the Transformers. I mean, I felt like they were touching upon that a little bit. I found that to be kind of interesting. A little weird, but interesting.
Yeah,
but they still could have had Jazz in there, you know, in Autobot Heaven.
Yeah, but like I said, I didn't really mean it.
Could have been like Crack a Tham, yo, like when he's out there. Like,
you know? So you found these stereotypical characters be better than that stereotypical character?
Yeah, because Jazz, I feel he was actually supposed to be black, you know?
Yeah. Well, how are these guys not black?
I know, but one of the characters, making fun of Wiggers, you know?
Mudflaps.
I don't know. They're obviously supposed to be black. But
one of the characters from Mudflap wasn't black though. The one who played his voice is a white dude.
Tom Kenny.
Yeah, Tom Kenny.
Also known as SpongeBob.
Yep, which is interesting.
But anyway, so what do you guys think about the? I felt there was not enough Megan Fox.
Well, she's not a really good actress, but
all I needed was that part with her running in slow motion.
Candy.
On the IMAX screen.
And she was all clean. Like, she wasn't dirty.
So,
exactly.
I know, but that doesn't make sense.
It's Megan Fox, man.
I felt her character is... It's a really weak character to begin with. That's the issue.
She's a weak actress.
Nah, she's not that bad. But, I mean, she's getting there. But I think really what it is the character... Look at what she was given. She wasn't given much. I mean, yeah, she was like, you know, Oscar...
She was given two things. Sit on a motorcycle in short shorts and run in slow motion.
If she was an Oscar-worthy actress, yeah, giving her that little bit of material, you know, she probably could do something crazy good with it. But, you know, for any other actress that's not that high of a caliber, you're really challenging them to
she had more in the first one, right? Yeah,
I felt like she was I don't find the character at all to be that interesting, but it was, at least it was more interesting in the first one.
Same one.
Yeah, but she's hot.
True. Oh, that's always
true.
Nice.
Yeah.
For me, one of the issues I found is like it kind of gets to the point where what's the point of even transforming? You know, like they, especially now that everyone knows they exist, and then like you know, they barely need to transform. Like I don't understand. Like the whole idea of like being in disguise.
Well, to keep in pursuit, you know, like when Optimus transformed into truck so he could keep up with Megatron.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I can see you would ever transform. Like the whole idea of transforming to hide yourself.
I know, but they're still trying to. They're still trying to cover him up, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be interesting to see how they go now since they made that. You know, Megatron made that big proclamation that they all exist.
They could just say it was CGI, you know. Like, just the government said, some dickhead hacked our satellites and put a CGI robot on every TV screen in the world, you know?
They'll find a way. Oh, yeah, Lam's acting up again.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the big-ass robot in where the pyramid? What's his name?
He was underused.
Yeah. And he was also anticlimactic.
Yeah,
the one with the scrotum?
It was like Venom style, you know? Like, let's put him in there real quick and then kill him off.
And you know what the funny part is?
I thought the ray gun part was
all the Constructicons that make him up, none of them have wrecking balls.
And yeah, he has wrecking balls. I didn't notice that.
How did the balls end up on Devastator, you know?
Because it's Michael Bay.
That's a very good point. That's funny. Well, yeah, Michael Bay doesn't have to make sense. God forbid you try to make sense out of his movies.
Yeah.
Come on, Pearl Harbor was good and you know it.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's just the battle, dude.
There's an entire song about how Pearl Harbor sucked on Team America World Police. And I have to agree.
Yeah. I've seen like a 97-minute cut of that movie.
Yeah.
And it's actually better,
I think
you know?
Best film is The Rock.
Yeah, his best film is The Rock. I love The Island, though. I know.
I hated The Island.
I hated that movie.
I don't know
why. I hate Michael Bay. And I despise Michael Bay for that movie.
Yeah.
The Island was great.
Because,
I don't understand that.
Because Scarlett... How do you pronounce her last name?
Scarlett Johansson?
Johansson.
Yeah, she was willing to show her. She was willing to show her boobs in that movie, and Michael Bay said, "No, you're not showing your boobs."
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yes. No, I'm not.
Screw Michael Bay. She was
exactly. And see, now you don't like that.
Screw Michael Bay.
Yeah, but The Island was horrible anyway.
No,
yeah.
It was a good film.
I remember
it
the first time I saw Bad Boys 2.
Even McGregor was horrible.
Sorry, Ian. What?
I remember the first time I saw Bad Boys 2. I had no idea who Michael Bay was.
Well, Bad Boys.
I was just like, Jesus Christ, this movie is pretty.
Well, yeah. Bad Boys 2, there were rats fucking, so.
Hey, what do you,
Bad Boys 2 was awesome.
Hey, you know, there's.
Did you guys know that Megan Fox was in Bad Boys 2?
She was an extra.
Yeah. She was in the back part, you know?
And she was
in that club scene?
I don't know. I know.
But anyway,
I read it in Entertainment Weekly.
She was 15 years old. From what I understand, what I read, she was 15 years old and I had her dancing in a wet bikini.
Isn't that kind of illegal?
She was talking about that on David Letterman. I don't think it is. But, I mean, what do you guys think of the idea that, like, you know, I know you guys say that the whole Terminator, like, it's not really Terminator thing because it was before, but, I mean, here Michael Bay was ragging on McG for making his Terminator film kind of, like...
I know, but they,
Well, who made more money, though?
They admitted that that's the stage.
Listen, you guys never let me finish. But then he goes in, and then he talks about, you know...
The robot, right?
He talks about McG saying that, like, the robots are very much like Transformers, and then he goes and makes a movie with Transformers-like character, like, the Terminator-like character. I mean, I found that to be hypocritical a little bit.
I know, but those are straight from the comics.
Still, I mean, but the fact that he said it, like, if it was just that, I mean, I wouldn't have liked it anyway, but at least he wouldn't have been a big deal. But then he has to go rag on McG about it, about...
They admitted that the whole... They admit that the whole feud was staged.
Yeah.
Yeah, still.
I mean, Terminator bombed and Transformers made a lot of money. So.
Yeah, but Terminator also sucked.
Yeah, it was disappointing. But,
no, it sucked.
I found
that movie sucked.
I found it to be decent. I mean, it wasn't...
Yeah, I mean, it was really anticlimactic.
That movie was probably the biggest problem.
Sucked.
You suck.
You suck.
That's it. Anyway, so do we have any other final thoughts on Transformers?
We gotta do the viral.
Oh yeah, let's talk about the viral.
The viral's actually in the movie.
I thought the viral was really, really well done. You know, because it connected with the film. It had more backstory and
right. No,
and that's just how it
was. Real effing deal, right?
Sorry, what?
The real
effing deal.
That and giant effing robots.
Yeah.
And Giant FM Robots was the one that John Turturro was doing, right?
Yeah, Robo Warrior.
I mean, and then they had Mendelsohn Robotics that went nowhere.
I know, that was weird. But
originally, that was McLaren Robotics.
Oh, yeah. But the one thing about I didn't like is that it was a little late. I mean, the stuff they did was pretty solid, but it was pretty late.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. The viral videos for it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
like, all
the videos were cool.
Yeah, those were cool.
I mean,
kind of Cloverfield-ish. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Cloverfield's also in the movie, too.
Yeah, so is Bad Boys, too.
Yeah, Bad Boys, too.
That big poster.
And then on his wall, you can see a page of the Japanese Cloverfield manga.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Damn, I forgot to look for that.
Yeah, there's a Kishin page. I forgot what page number it was.
Very cool.
There.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that they tied in the viral really nicely. I mean, it wasn't that complicated of a viral. Like, it was pretty simple, but what they did with it was very good.
Yeah.
And then they tied it in very strongly with the film.
And that's a good way to do virals, you know? I mean, sometimes you don't need, like, 55,000 websites.
Like Terminator was viral.
Yeah.
I mean, Terminator did that, but it didn't pull it off very well. And right. Dark Knight is really the only one to pull off the multiple sites thing really, really well.
Yeah. I mean, but so they really showed that was a really good way for them to do a very, you know, like two sites they actually used, and then they use them very strongly, and then they put them into the film as a pretty big point. And so I mean, that's almost a pitch perfect way of doing a very simple viral.
And I convinced like 20 people to check out our site at the midnight showing.
Very nice.
Yes.
Nice.
All
right, so let's get, if we have time, so let's do some other news. I mean, we can talk about maybe the celebrity stuff first. I mean, a lot of...
I do District 9, getting rated R.
Do you want to do the viral stuff first and then go into celebrities?
District 9.
Okay, first. Well, District 9 is rated R. We just found that out about a week or so ago.
Good thing.
I mean, obviously there's an issue of box office Taken, but I mean, we've shown that...
It wasn't going to be a big hit anyway, though.
What do you think of the rumors?
Do you think the rumors are true for that?
The rumors about, like, with the aliens?
Yeah, what I told you, yeah.
Yeah,
Spoiler alert, you know.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
For District 9, yeah. So, I mean, there were some rumors going around that David had where... There were some bombers, suicide bombers, that were non-humans in the movie, and then also...
Airstrike.
There was an airstrike at the end, and...
And then the big twist, which...
Yeah, the twist was that...
Which the aliens are actually evil, right?
Yeah, they were going to take us over. I don't know, like, the twist thing is not that surprising, I'm not even sure if I like it.
It kind of defeats the point of the message in the movie.
Yeah, too, I feel like it would be a really weak way of doing a twist.
And Ian was telling me about is that the ship, I mean, how they have the technology to fix it.
My whole thing with that is, if you're powerful enough to get to this planet in the first place...
Why can't you take it out?
There was no reason, or no way, that we would be able to detain you that easily and for that long.
Right, yeah. Especially if you're the ones that are supposedly manipulating it yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, this has got to be something... It doesn't make sense in that you would let this happen. I mean,
the twist
just,
might
if you could get here,
sense.
You would just take them over. I mean, you wouldn't bother with all this, like, this fake shenanigans.
I can definitely believe the airstrike, but I find the suicide bombers a little bit far-fetched.
I don't know, it makes sense. I mean, it seems
like... I could see some aliens going in there to blow up some MNU shit so they can save...
It's actually in the D9.
So they can save George.
I just found that out right now.
Sorry, what?
That in the D9.com, there's actually, you know, there's like the little pop-up things, the circles. The red. There's like a bombing that says five people are injured at bombing.
Oh, see? Yeah, I mean, so...
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about this kind of situation, this is a really bad situation for these guys. So, you know, the idea that they would take desperate measures, you know, it's not too far-fetched, I don't think. I mean,
yeah, but that doesn't seem to fit in with the plot line.
They're probably
know?
Taking the ideas from humans because they might see TV, like, about Iraq and all that. So they see, oh, look.
It fits perfectly with the sort with the idea.
I know, but it the movie like the main plot in the movie isn't it like about Wiccus getting
hit
with some alien biotech shit and then turning into an alien himself and having to deal with it?
Well, I don't know if he turns into a full on alien, but
yeah, but like you can tell that he's mutating because of the yellow eye
and the green dudes. Right, but I mean, you're gonna see stuff there. You're gonna see how this world is. That's one of the big things when you're doing a film. Is you have to kind of show the world. You have to make people understand the setting. And so showing, you know, maybe it's in the beginning. We have no idea when this will be, but maybe it's in the beginning. Maybe it's somewhere, during the process. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that, or even if it's just a news report.
I just know that maybe the humans don't treat the aliens like they're gonna torture them or they're gonna, you know, do bad things to them, and we see that.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like it's a pretty shitty situation for these guys.
Yeah, and then that's why maybe the aliens get pissed off and they, you know,
bomb the shit out. Desperate times call for desperate measures. You know, it's simple. So the R thing I think would be great because it really will show you the grittiness of it. I mean, especially with the message of the film.
It also shows Sony has balls and not like cut it and then appeal to the main audience.
Because we've seen that with Terminator and stuff like that.
Yeah, Terminator.
But they only cut one scene from Terminator, so.
Yeah, but still.
To get the PG.
You're right. But, and Matt may be right where it may not be a movie where it's supposed to get a lot of money, although it's getting a lot of buzz. But you look at movies like Hangover, they've done very well despite being R. So
I mean, the Hangover's beaten up like 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
you know?
So I mean, there's evidence out there.
If it has a good word of mouth, it might be successful.
Right. I mean, that's all it takes sometimes. I mean,
yeah.
And so. Watchmen made $50 million, so.
Yeah,
but it dropped.
Watchmen was supposed to make a lot more, though.
Yeah. Like Terminator.
Yeah, but still.
Yep, but they both sucked.
You mean Watchmen sucked?
I like Watchmen.
I thought Watchmen was
good. I'm going to give the director's cut a chance, but I didn't like the regular.
Yeah,
the regular.
I'm gonna check
that out. Matt, you have such weird tastes.
Well, back to District 9.
They cut out, like, the most important parts of the novel.
The novel sucked anyway, I don't care.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
The novel was the best thing.
No, it didn't.
No, I have to agree
Me
with
Me and
that.
You are done professionally, Dan.
Well, this is opinion, but...
Yeah. Anyway, so, David, what else did you want to talk about District 9?
Yeah, about District 9, I mean, even if they cut it to PG-13, I think it would be fine, rated R, because this isn't really, you know, it's an adult audience, you know, this type of,
Because I highly doubt the teenagers want to go see a documentary, like a mockumentary that's a metaphor for, like,
they don't want to see
it. It's not like poverty. It's not a mockumentary. But
I mean, but it's kind of like, for them, it's kind of like, whatever.
No, but
the trailer was a documentary, you know?
Yeah, but that's just the way to introduce people to it. But you gotta realize that this is very much like George A. Romero in his zombie films. You know, if you look at all of his, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead,
he hasn't made a good one since Day of the Dead, though.
Well, but I'm saying his trilogy, his original trilogy, they were social commentary, but in the form of a zombie film. And that's exactly what this District 9 looks like it's gonna be. It's gonna be social commentary in the form of an alien film. And so I find this to be a very George A. Romero style kind of movie, and that's why I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, it appeals on two fronts. It appeals on people who like the social messages,
and also a lot of rated R sci-fi films are successful, like Alien, Aliens, Blade Runner. You know, like
But that was before the PG-13 rating was around.
But,
so
I mean,
you don't know. I mean, if they would have made Alien today, I mean, that chestbuster might get past the PG-13. You know?
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Because they can have some guy get half of his face burned off and dogs having sex with each other by PG-13, then they should be able to get that.
Well, I mean,
I think they'd just be able to show it from, like, facing the camera and have to be, like, from another angle.
Yeah. Well, the description for the rated R is bloody violence and persuasive language.
Yeah.
There's not going to be no alien boobs in this movie.
Damn it. any other talk you guys want to talk about? I mean,
we got the 2012 trailer.
For District 9, real quick, it's worth mentioning that there was supposed to be a new trailer come out, but got delayed, I guess.
Alex said that it was.
Yeah, but they got they have the uncensored trailer out in theaters now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What's the title?
I know they showed footage at the what's it called though?
The 20 that they have in front of, like, I think the AMC or something.
Show us footage.
Yeah, that. But also, they showed footage before to all these slash film and for showing. Remember when they were buzzing about it? They showed like a scene, and everyone was raving about it. They might show that in the trailer. I don't know.
Yeah, they keep pushing that stuff back though. Right?
They showed that. I think they showed something that was.
I saw that. That's actually
that
pretty cool.
In the theater first look that they're
the
running.
Cinemark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cinemark, Regal, AMC, all that stuff. But not Lowe's, because Lowe's sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so have you guys checked out this Nine viral for that movie? That's the Tim Burton produced film.
All I know is that the film is going to be a really amazing animated dark film. It's PG-13.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to the viral too much yet, but I just know the movie looks.
It's from the guy from Wanted, right? I can't explain his name because it's too long. But.
Yeah,
Timur Brekinov?
Something like that.
Yeah, the guy that directed it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I only looked into it for the article that I wrote on the site, but it was it's really kind of interesting how it kind of gets you into the world, because there's a lot of backstory here, and it's a very interesting way to get you into it. I mean, I actually had no interest in this film whatsoever until I started looking at the viral, and then I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting, actually. So,
the only part that I liked about it is that Welcome Home was in the trailer, so that might get me in there.
Nice.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
And then we have 20, that's old school. I mean, I don't know.
Can I explain about the Hurt Locker?
We haven't covered the trailer yet, though.
Okay, yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. It's an awesome trailer. Looks awesome. Plot sounds shitty. Michael Bay times five, you know.
Yeah, I like the whole car coming out of the plane. That's very nice.
That was.
I wonder how much Lincoln nice. Paid him to do that.
I like the whole White House thing, you know, the aircraft carrier with John F. Kennedy, the USS F. John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Also, they have a gigantic ark that's been hidden away from us for like 200 years.
But what's with all Emmerich with the White House, dude? Like, he hates the White House or something? I mean,
no, it's just a great way of showing destruction. I mean, if you're going to show destruction, what better way than the White House, you know?
They did it Independence Day, what else? Day after tomorrow, wait. Oh.
I think the Statue of Liberty is actually a little more powerful because of the scene in Cloverfield where the Statue of Liberty had. That was more powerful than the White House getting blown to smithereens.
Yeah, right. And just there's different ways of doing it. I mean, just anything that's iconic, I think, is what makes the difference.
From what it seems in the trailer, from what they've shown so far, it's like they're destroying each of the biggest landmarks in different countries. Like
especially the one with the Vatican.
Yeah,
that was kind of funny. That
statue in Brazil or whatever
it was.
Didn't they do that in Angels and Demons? Like have the wall split in between the fingers.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
I didn't say it
was something like
and
that.
And they had this display at my local theater, and it has 2012 on it. It has like a gigantic piece of Earth coming up.
A picture of it.
And then it's okay. I'm gonna twit pick it later tonight. All right. And it's got volcanoes coming up from the ocean and tornadoes and everything, and like one part's coming up and it looks like Roland Emmerich is actually going to split the Earth in half.
So it looks like it from the trailer, like going in the ocean.
Yeah, there was a piece in the trailer where it looked like an entire plate.
It's a land. Yeah,
kind of lifted up Titanic style.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like.
Hopefully, that's not California.
Not really.
Yeah. Los Angeles is going down.
No.
It's like John Cusack ends up surviving the world getting split in half.
I mean,
half.
If they survive, I mean, if humans survive in this thing, then...
Talk about choose your side.
I'm not sure they're going to survive in that film, I have a feeling.
Yeah. All right, anything else we want to talk about?
The Hurt Locker.
Okay, well, yeah, you had your review of
awesome,
the Hurt Locker.
Awesome film.
The David monologue.
That is like, that's the best war movie since Black Hawk Down, modern war movie. You guys gotta see it when it comes into your city.
Awesome. I hate war movies, so I probably won't see it.
Was it better than Jarhead?
Yes, Jarhead was a piece of shit movie.
I know.
Well, Black Hawk Down, did you like Black Hawk Down?
No, I didn't like the shaky cam.
What war movie did you like?
What?
Saving Private Ryan.
Well, you can't really compare it. But I mean, Hurt Locker is awesome. I mean, it doesn't have a message, you know, like the Valley of Allah or that stupid 50 Cent movie, which is horrible. But this movie is awesome. It has a story, and it shows really... I mean, the lead guy is Jeremy Renner. He's in... what's it called? 28 Days Later? Yeah, 28 Days. Yeah. He's really good in this film. He is going to be a star because he's really, really good in this film. And you guys got to see it. I mean, if you guys can't see it in the theater, just rent it on DVD or something. Netflix it. I don't know. So,
yeah,
but it's really...
I'll just watch it illegally on the computer.
Okay,
there we go.
So awesome.
All right, so let's kind of wrap this up with our celebrity talk now, since we've had a lot of tragic deaths last week. We had Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, and the big ones, Michael Jackson and Billy Mays.
Billy Mays here.
Well, Michael Jackson, stole the spotlight in the news. I mean, CNN's airing Michael Jackson for...
Right,
I don't know, but I kind of expected Michael Jackson to die soon, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've heard some stuff about him lately.
Yeah, he was sick.
I just really didn't expect Billy Mays to die, you know?
Yeah, that was more surprising.
There's There's a lot of controversy.
Because I was just watching them on Conan, like, the night before I heard. I had a Conan DVR'd, and I was watching that, and then next day I wake up, I create, I'm on SmackDown vs. Raw, and I make Billy Mays in the game with the creator wrestler. And so I'm beating up on Triple H, and then my dad calls me, and he's like, "You're dead. Billy Mays just died."
Like Dan said, it's a sign.
Yeah.
But I think what it's, yeah, you're right. The Michael Jackson thing has a lot more controversy around it and everything.
Of course.
So, and obviously,
they even had the guy who the kid who accused MJ of molestation.
Yeah. The Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah, he said the kid said he was lying about it and everything.
The
I haven't had that confirmed anywhere except for that one site you showed us. None of the major outlets have picked that up, so I don't know if that's...
Yeah, because the media, they just want to keep the bad image on Michael, you know?
But, oh no, you look at all this stuff they've had, though. I mean, there's been some pretty positive stuff about Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, it's...
I mean, his music.
But
I wonder if they're going to, like, give people money back for the shows he was going to play this summer.
No, they did. Yeah, they talked about it. They had an article about that.
When is his funeral? Tomorrow? When is it, his funeral?
I don't know.
They're having a public showing at Neverland Ranch.
Yeah. But as far as their concerts go, they did say that they were going to give refunds, even souvenirs or something like that to those people.
I heard they were going to do Justin Timberlake and Madonna were going to do a tribute thing.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the biggest fans of Michael Jackson. I have all of his albums and everything, so it was definitely... I mean, I know musically he wasn't, you know, obviously where he used to be, but it's still pretty tragic, and it was like, I was really kind of shocked, and even because I hadn't heard a whole lot about his health. I'd heard a little bit, but still, the fact that he's dead was what maybe...
I mean...
When you hear that, you're like,
he is the only singer that I've ever gotten into a fight over. Because,
I mean,
I'll go ahead and tell you guys the story, but I was at... FYE, four-year entertainment.
Right.
It's a local music store, and I was buying the 25th anniversary edition of Thriller when it came out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's this one kid in there in the other aisle looking at music, and like he's buying every single Limp Bizkit album ever made. And look ever when I'm picking up MJ Thriller, and he's like, "Dude, are you a fag or something?" And so I just popped him in the face.
Yeah, nice.
That's not really a fight. It's just,
you know, guys, picking up Limp Bizkit albums has room to talk.
Anyway,
so what's your favorite song, Dan? Or Michael Jackson?
That's tough to say.
I can name it.
What's yours?
I can guess.
Oh, you can guess mine?
Mine?
Mine's Billie Jean.
Billie Jean? What's yours, Matt?
Smooth Criminal.
That's my favorite.
You like the Alien Ant Farm version?
That's all
right. No.
I like it.
Sorry.
Annie, are you okay? Are you okay?
Well, me and Ian
are
like
you okay, yeah.
Ian, were you a fan of Michael Jackson?
No.
It's okay.
You are not welcome here.
So, you said Off the Wall is better than Thriller, right?
You guys all know how I love music. My thing with Michael Jackson is he saw music as something that you would visualize and have someone else play for you. I mean, I guarantee you that Michael Jackson never picked up a guitar or anything in his life. He visualized music as something that you could see, and he had other people play what he wanted to play for him. So,
I have no idea if he played music in any instruments or anything, but
I think he did.
He might have. But he's just a music person.
I think he played some.
I mean, he did choreography.
I think
he
played
songs,
some.
You know,
I think he played an instrument with the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
Not usually. No, he just sang. Jermaine played guitar and. He played bass, and then Tito played guitar. But Michael mostly, if anything, he played maybe like the tambourine or something.
I've never gotten into his music.
Yeah, I mean, it's a style.
Understandable.
Some people just don't like it. Yeah, I personally like Off the Wall more than Thriller. I find Thriller to probably be a better album, like an actual, like objectively, but personally,
Off the Wall. Blasphemy.
No, Thriller is his best album.
Objectively. I mean, Off the Wall is
his favorite
album.
Yeah, my favorite album of his, personally, is Off the Wall, but objectively, his best album was obviously Thriller.
Because Off the Wall has Wanna Be Starting Something, and it has Rock With You, right?
Yeah, and it has a lot of...
Yeah, it's a good song.
I mean, Off the Wall, the song Off the Wall is great, and, you know, Get on the Floor and some other great songs like that. I mean,
but Thriller is more, in my opinion, better.
I enjoyed the awesome guitar solo in Beat It.
Yeah, Beat It.
What's Slash?
Yeah.
Guitar Hero.
Isn't that Slash?
Nah, he did Slash with the Black or White, I think.
No, Slash was in that too, though. I actually don't know if Slash was in Black or White, but I know he was in Beat It.
I'm pretty sure Slash was in Black and White.
And also in his videos, music videos, a lot of famous directors directed his videos, music videos.
Well, Martin Scorsese.
He kind of revolutionized the way that music
Thriller was directed by John Landis.
Right, exactly. Because he got the inspiration for Thriller from watching his American Werewolf in London, or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And so, that's...
Thriller was an awesome video.
Right, and that's really the one that kind of revolutionized the way that music videos were done. I mean, most people at the time weren't even doing music videos as, like, a story. They were doing them as, like, you know, just people singing in front of a camera. And so he kind of really showed the capabilities of music videos to transcend just, you know, a concert that you record. And so it's really it's pretty cool when you think about it like that, and his impact.
I think that was mainly the whole concert recording thing. That was mainly for like 80s hair metal and everything, you know.
Well, that's but even before that, but the fact is that people weren't doing like stories and stuff like that. I mean,
Billy Jean's also a good video too. Good music video.
Yeah,
I would just like to say that even though I wasn't a fan of his music, he was a talented cat. I mean, you look at some of the old Jackson 5 videos and what he's doing. He's insane, and he can, if he wanted to do it, he could probably do it. And he was super.
The problem with Michael is that he grew up too fast.
Never got into his music.
Yeah, he never got a really chance to have a childhood.
Because of his dad, right?
Yeah.
His dad wanted to push him into the music business, like right when he was born, right?
Well, what it really was was that. His father was very hard, and he wanted them to be something big. And his father was a musician that never really made it, and so he kind of forced the kids to do more. The kids made the group themselves, but he forced them into being like, you know, you got to be professional and all this other stuff. And so he was really hard on them to the point of, you know, beating them and stuff even. So that was one of the reasons why, you know, at nine years old they started doing like the big stuff. I mean, he actually joined
Jackson Five.
Yeah, he actually started joining the group, I think he was like 6 or 7, but at 9 is when they went, you know, pro basically. And so at a very young age, he never really had a chance because they were too, you know, Joe Jackson was too busy pushing them into music and doing everything, you know, hardcore. So I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why he grew up kind of, you know, liking Peter Pan and all the other stuff, is because he never really got that kind of childhood. So then once he had the money and the time, he sort of like, you know, he went back to that. And that's, you know, and it's kind of sad that it turned into what people, like, I never really believed the allegations, but it's true or not, that's not the point.
He's a weird guy.
I read online that from the leaked autopsy results, which I'm not sure are real or fake,
right?
But they said that he weighed 112 pounds when they found him dead.
Wow.
I could probably believe that. I mean, look at him.
My brother, he's around 5'9". And he's 175 pounds. And he looks like a completely normal guy.
Right.
And you guys know, he looks just like that guy on ESPN in the mornings, you know, Greenberg or some shit.
Huh? Oh, you mean Mike?
Mike and Mike, yeah. He looks Mike just like him. And and imagine Mike, like the pussy one, but imagine him, like, minus 50 pounds.
Wow.
That's
how small Jacko was.
That's scary. I was just looked up online, actually. The guitarist from Beat It was actually Eddie Van Halen. So.
Oh,
told you.
Eddie Van Halen.
I knew it was someone.
Slash was on Black and White, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
I also like that song, Human Nature, for some reason.
It's a great song. I mean, some people don't even go that far. I mean, Beat It was, I mean, Bad was a great album. Dangerous was a great album.
That's one that I didn't really like.
Dangerous really took I mean, he always was someone who's pushing the envelope, so obviously Dangerous really kind of takes a different turn. But, I mean,
I mean
who doesn't like
have you guys,
Remember the Time, though? I mean,
yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the Moonwalker movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Dude, that movie's, you know, that part where he does Smooth Criminal?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And, like, he shoots up that whole bar?
Yeah.
And then he just starts singing it, and then it stops, you know?
Yeah, with his hat.
That is the coolest scene I've ever
seen. Yeah, I want that suit. I love it. And I love it in the beginning where...
I have a Thriller jacket, actually.
Very nice.
You have the glove?
The glove.
No one has the glove.
I like in the beginning of that, the movie they had the kids doing the bad video.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
He had a fake hand.
No.
What?
He didn't have a fake hand.
I mean, black and white video was really long, right?
Yeah. Well,
the black
short,
and white video was
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is what was that video where like
it
had all this
Super Bowl?
Yeah, there was.
What was that video where they had like all the people morphing? Like,
that was
they had like
black or white.
Oh,
end.
It was.
Yeah, at the end. And Tyra Banks,
that video.
Tyra Banks was one of the people that were morphing.
I hate Tyra Banks.
Let's not get into that discussion. And so Billy Mays is the other big one.
Billy Mays.
We touched upon, but I mean, I know us on the site, we all really love Billy
unexpected
Mays.
Unexpected
yeah. And sad.
I mean, and I probably wouldn't be this sad if Pitchman wasn't on the air. Mm. Because I've been watching Pitchman
it's
for like...
Show. It's a great show.
For like the last 2-3 months, and I felt like I got to know Billy Mays personally from that show.
No, you're right. You see a different side of
yeah.
it. I mean...
And it, when he died, it was just unexpected because,
right?
Like, cause like the night before, he was just on Conan O'Brien.
Right.
And he said he was going to, and he said he had a bone to pick with the ShamWow guy. And I was waiting for them to throw down, you know?
ShamWow.
And it just really sucks because, like, he had his daughter and his son on the show on Pitchman.
Yeah.
And you realize how close he was to his family, and then when he just dies all of a sudden, you know, just it's bad.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
And recently, he signed a contract with Taco Bell. That was going to be the.
He was also doing ESPN commercials too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I think Billy Mays is going to be like the next Tupac, where he's got new shit coming out that we never knew existed. Yeah. <You know?
Okay.
laughs>
Probably.
I mean, Tupac still has stuff coming out that we don't even know of, right?
He's
probably alive.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's alive. It's like that Dave Chappelle skit that really did that. Where
yeah,
that was
yeah. Tupac and Billy Mays are all hanging out at Mary-Kate Olsen's apartment.
Oh.
Good times.
So cool.
Anyway.
Too soon.
So
yeah. How about Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have much to say about her, but, I mean...
She was hot in the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of revolutionized the idea of, you know, what it was.
She was the one that sold the most posters, right? Something
yeah,
like that.
The idea of beauty, she really kind of, like, set that up and everything. So.
I mean, she didn't really have a bite, but her face was kind of, you know, it was her face.
Start critiquing her now that she's dead? That's nice. yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's not much to say.
I mean, I could see why it hit people hard, but she was just, like... a generation before me, so I couldn't really get into it, you know?
No, I hear him the same way. And plus she had cancer, so, I mean, it was something where...
And and the sad part is that she was the same age as my dad when she died.
Oh, yeah.
She was also doing, like, a documentary about her, like, her cancer thing. That was pretty sad.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so...
Makes it tough.
And you know something else I realized?
What?
Billy Mays and Michael Jackson both died at the same age.
Yeah,
50.
Billy Mays is
$49.99. How about Ed McMahon?
Yeah, well, he lived a full life, you know.
Yeah, I mean
he died of natural causes, old age, you know.
Right.
I mean, at least he didn't go all David Carradine. But...
Really.
Another guy that died.
Yeah.
That one's...
And he died horrible.
Let's try not to mention how. Let's try not to talk about David Carradine because I know we'll. End up going into a conversation that we don't want to go into.
Yeah, exactly.
That takes us down a bad path.
Yeah. Yeah.
But David Carradine, he's a legend.
Yes, very
and
much.
Sucks. I mean, it's a hell of a way to go out, but...
I remember seeing his Kung Fu, like, the series. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. He was really good.
He was awesome in Death Race 2000.
And Kill Bill, he was really awesome, too.
I hated Kill Bill.
He was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, like... But the thing about Kill Bill 1
yeah.
is that you can feel David Carradine's presence in the whole movie, you know?
Yeah.
But you never see his face, but you can just feel, damn, it feels like David Carradine's right around that corner, you know?
I feel that every night.
Well, yeah, it's really...
It's like, you open up your closet one morning.
Yeah. Pretty
David much. Carradine's just there, you know?
Hey, David. What's up? All right, well, I think that we kind of covered a pretty good amount of stuff. I mean, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Now we move on to the best part of the podcast.
What's that?
What is that?
Free time.
Free. I never agreed to this.
Yes, but you have to.
Well, let's see what you want to talk about first before I decide if I should just cut you off.
Well, how about David goes first? I'm sure David has something to talk about.
I don't know.
See?
I think we have a conversation with me and Ian about Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox, which is really funny.
What about it?
Just go check out the forum.
Quite an inappropriate discussion, I must say.
Yeah, it's not really... It's not for Matt, because he's too young. You know?
Matt, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Moneyballers getting shit canned.
Oh, money bars?
What?
Money ball.
Moneyball got.
Yeah, with Brad Pitt. Yeah. It's about the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, it's from Steven Soderbergh.
Right. And, yeah, Billy Bean. It's about
Brad
Billy
Pitt was supposed to star, and Sony, they just shit canned it like a day before it was.
This doesn't sound like an interesting movie though.
Well,
it
actually is.
I mean, it's a story about a general manager and the stats about baseball, how he gets his grades. I mean, this is not interesting at all. Huh.
Was Wall Street interesting when you think about the plot?
But Michael Douglas. So that makes
it's a good point,
yeah,
though, man.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but still. Yeah. Not really.
Anyway, this is a great discussion. All right, I think we should wrap it up. I just want to thank you all for joining me on this lovely podcast. So, everyone say goodbye.
Farewell, don't you run over.
Bye-bye.
Later.
For more podcasts, go to MovieViral.com, your number one source for movie viral news. And now we leave you with a selection from Michael Jackson.